David Mulbaum has written for the Dow Jones Newswires, America Online, Market Watch, and is now online editor for Kiplinger Magazine. He also writes about cars and car maintenance, and as he said, for which his degree in American literature from Middlebury College qualifies him not one bit. So I said, who better to help us learn how to get your car to 200,000 miles or more? Welcome back to the show, David.
Pleasure to be here. Would it help if I told you that my first word was wheel?
No, I didn't know that. That really was your first word, huh? Wow.
Oh, according to my parents.
Okay, yeah. Of course, yeah. All right, well, I think that establishes you as an expert. So the average age of cars on the road today is higher than ever. It's over 11 years old. So, you know, once you hit that milestone of 100,000 miles, I think the trick is, how do you get another 100,000 miles out of it? Take us through some ways that we can attempt to do this.
Sure. Well, I mean, of course, regular maintenance is no surprise. That's the key point, is looking at that owner's manual, knowing that maintenance schedule, and following it. One big thing that for many cars around the 100,000 mile mark or a little bit before is that the timing belt and some associated parts often need to be replaced. That's a really critical one, because on many cars, if the timing belt goes, it's pretty much the end of the engine. And what was $1,000 maintenance is a multi-$1,000 replacement.
So regular maintenance is extremely important. And in the early years, you're saying it's the timing belt. But, you know, when you get past 100,000 miles, it seems to me there's going to be some other, you know, how many parts does an engine really have? It's thousands, right?
Thousands. But you don't have to replace every one of them. The thing is, a lot, thankfully, a lot of car maintenance schedules that I just referred to, a lot of times once they get past 100 or 150,000 miles, it's sort of like shampoo. It's like, you know, lather, rinse, repeat. Mm-hmm. So you might just have an, you know, oh, look, oil change again. But the fact is, after 100,000 miles, certain things are going to need to be replaced. So you with your mechanic might want to take a proactive look and think, you know, this wasn't specified on the maintenance schedule, but maybe we want to do it just in case.
Yeah. What is the benefit of building your own maintenance schedule with a certified mechanic? Because I think after a certain amount of miles, the car manual doesn't really address it anymore.
Right. I mean, it's a little bit, you want to find someone you trust, because Lord knows there are enough service desks out there selling stuff that you don't need.
Right.
So, you know, one of the beauties of the internet is that there's a car forum on there for just about every car on the planet. So with a little help from what a friend of mine refers to as YouTube U, you can find out a whole lot about what people who have your car think are the important things to address, and then bring those up with your mechanic.
You write that you want to use your senses, your sense of sight, your sense of sound and smell. In what ways would you use your senses to anticipate or to recognize certain problems you may be having?
Right. I mean, you know, many people say, oh, well, I'm not a car guy or girl. You know, I don't really think about these things. But you still have, you got a nose, you got eyes, you got ears. And what you want to use those for is to know what the baselines are and look for something that is uncommon, out of place. Look under the car from time to time. Do you see a drip there on the floor that wasn't there before? Does it smell funny? Or usually what people notice is, does it sound funny? Mm-hmm. Do I hear a rattle?
Yeah.
When does the rattle happen? Does it happen when I shift into reverse? Does it happen when I push the brake, the gas, etc.? The better you are at paying attention to your car in those ways, the earlier you might find problems that could be expensive, and the better you will be at explaining them or what you're explaining what you're experiencing to your mechanic.
You wrote in one of your articles that a good idea would be every time you pull out of a, let's say, a parking space, is kind of take a look behind and see whether, you know, there's anything left on the ground there. And if you kind of suspect there is, then maybe, you know, lay some cardboard down, let's say you're in your garage, drive your car on top of it, and so you can see perhaps where locationally a leak may actually be occurring. So that's an easy thing to do. And also do a pre-flight check at least once a week, you know, to make sure that things are in order. Walk around your car, have your kids step on the brake and see if the lights come on. You know, these are kind of typical things, but we take a lot for granted. Also, I think your sense of smell, right? I mean, if things are smell kind of funky or smell a little burning when maybe when you pull out the dipstick. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So the dipstick I'm referring to is generally the automatic transmission dipstick.
Okay.
And, you know, fewer cars have that nowadays. More transmissions are sealed. However, you can tell something if you have one that, let's see, my 10-year-old Toyota has this feature. It does have a dipstick for the automatic transmission.
Mm-hmm.
You can give that fluid a sniff, and you can smell if it's burned. You can actually look at it and see its color and condition.
That
could tell you something about whether it needs to be replaced.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's kind of smart. All right, so smell, sound, sight. Be aware. Listen, if you start to hear a rattle or something that sounds unusual, don't turn the radio up to cover it. Actually, pay attention. Pay attention. I like this one, too. Say no to short trips. Why is a short trip so bad for your car?
Yes, this one is close to an obsession for me, I think, much to the chagrin of my wife, to whom I always say, no, take the car that's warm. So here's the thing. Every time you turn on a car with a gas engine, you burn fuel. That fuel contains water, and some of that water will get into your car's oil and exhaust system every time the engine runs. On a longer trip, the car's engine gets hot, and it burns that unburned fuel and other contaminants out of the oil, out of the engine, out of the exhaust. That's a good thing that it's gone.
Yeah.
But a short trip won't do that, and eventually that oil gets sludgy. It basically, it's harder on a car to go lots of little short trips than a nice, long highway trip.
Yeah, one example you used in your article is if you parked your car outside of your garage overnight, let's say, and then in the morning you want to move it into the garage, that's really bad for your car to start it up, move it a few feet, and turn it off, right?
Right, or to have, you know, to shuffle the order of the cars in the driveway or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also told a story about this person who only had 3 miles to go every day to work, so he would take the extra long route to get to work. I thought that was a little over the top.
Maybe a little obsessive, but if you can think of a second place to, if you can combine your trips, if you can think of a second place to stop, or if you can delay a trip until you have multiple things together, that adds up. That can definitely make your car last longer.
And remember, we're talking about getting a car over the 100,000 mile mark to the 200,000 mile mark. So you're going to have to be a bit obsessed anyway and really be paying attention because that's a special accomplishment, right?
Right. Well, I think that, you know, if 50 is the new 30, then 200 is the new 100 something like that.
All right. My guest is David Mulbaum. He's the online editor for Kiplinger Magazine, and he writes about all things financial, but one of his most favorite topics is the car business or how to maintain your car, and that's what we're talking about, how to get your car to the 200,000 mile mark. What about the use of oil? This is our last topic we'll talk about in this segment. Should I be looking at regular oil or synthetic oil?
Well, number one, you should be doing what your owner's manual says. So be changing the oil at the intervals according to your owner's manual. Now, nothing gets people, at least car heads, more fired up about which oil to use. But it's a little bit like brushing your teeth. It's not really so much the toothpaste, it's that you do it at all. So change the oil. Now, once we reach that level, more and more cars are specifying synthetic oil. Synthetic oil is no doubt better. The question is the price point. Is it
worth
it? You'll pay more than twice as much.
Yeah, so is it worth it, especially if you're changing every 3,000?
Well, first of all, I would not be changing every 3,000. That's kind of out of the ad campaign of a certain...
okay. Certain so you see, shows you where I'm at.
Location.
Yeah, so...
No, I would just say follow what's in the owner's manual. It could be considerably higher. And some cars now have sensors that will tell you when to change the oil based on whether how many trips you've taken. How many short trips you've taken, for example.
Well, I guess the question really is, if you're using synthetic oil that's twice as expensive, do you get to extend the time between oil changes?
That comes down to a question of whose warranty do you trust. Most car makers will tell you to stay, or will not just tell you, the warranty requires you to stay with the service interval that they've either specified.
All right. So having said that, then is it worth, if I'm not going to save money by extending the change of oil, is it worth it to use synthetic versus standard oil? Quickly, your answer.
I think so for peace of mind, because you know it's better. And you can rely, if you choose to, on the warranty extended by your synthetic oil maker.
There you go. My guest, David Mulbaum from Kiplinger.com, talking about kind of how to get that car from 100,000 to 200,000 miles. And to hear more about this and to hear the rest of the story, don't forget to come to our website, which is stevepomerantz.com. That's P-O-M-E-R-A-N-Z, stevepomerantz.com. Hey, David, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.